This is Tanahashi, and you are listening to Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. Ai shimasu!
When they're not covering the sports world, they're talking about the world of professional wrestling.
It's Sports Guys Talking Wrestling.
Now, with Justin Simmons, here's Stu Myrick.
It is Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. The Sports Guys Talking Wrestling after WrestleMania. Because that's the way it, you know, everybody else is labeling it. Stu Myrick, Justin the Smash Simmons on the horn, 104.9 AM 1260. And yeah, I'm back from NOLA.
Are you kidding? I was like, it was the best.
It was. Hey, look, I love New Orleans. And, you know, it was really neat. I got down there Thursday evening, and the first place I walked by is the convention center. And to think back 5 years ago in February, that was my first Super Bowl Radio Row. It was in that very building. My one-on-one interview with Emmett Smith, my first one-on-one interview was in that building. So it was kind of neat to see that. It was good to be there. My first meal was back at Moolot's, just down the street. Had some fantastic etouffee.
Well, I'm pretty sure the food pretty much is all solid in New Orleans.
Oh, it is. So now that we've had the 4.5 days of, you know, wrestling, the wrestling world descending upon New Orleans. Man, what a weekend.
You heard it in the introduction right there. You got to meet the ace.
I did.
The once in a generation.
I did. It was really neat. And he was really cool. He was very kind to do that intro for us. And he was super nice. What can I say?
The man who saved New Japan.
That's right.
Pro wrestling.
Now the second... Is it the second longest reigning IWGP champion now? He had the most of title defenses.
Yes.
He had the most title defenses.
I mean, Okada, I think someday is going to eclipse him, but
he already has.
Well,
he did with the it would have been
I'm talking
at,
about stature though.
Oh, stature, he's already longest reigning. And he eclipsed Tanahashi as far as title defenses. I want to say it was at Sakura Genesis.
Yes.
But, I mean, yeah, whether they rate, you know, I think it's going to be one of those things. It's kind of like rating Hulk Hogan and Bruno Sammartino, you know.
Well, of course, but they each had their strengths in their time period. I mean, without Bruno, obviously, the WWE doesn't even get to the Hogan point.
That's
and
true.
Same thing with Tanahashi. Without him... I mean, I digress, but we could go
yeah.
into this. But the fact that you got to meet him.
That was cool.
Because, you know, the first thing I would have asked him about was getting some hair tips because he has great hair.
Oh, he's fantastic.
And I was like, man, my
that
hair
in
no
person,
hair.
Oh, it's even better. It was really fantastic. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll get to all that. Let's talk about the big card, the reason everybody was there, WrestleMania 34 in the Superdome. Not the Silver Dome, as Hulk Hogan liked to joke, but the Super Dome.
I don't think he was joking, unfortunately.
No, that was... That
I think
was,
he just had a really yeah. bad mishap in memory.
The first thing that comes to mind is New Orleans will now be known as the city where streaks end, because Sunday night, Charlotte ended the streak of Asuka, and in doing so, retained the SmackDown Women's Championship. It was a great match. It was a great match, and the crowd enjoyed it.
It sounded like they, at least from, you know, on the screen's end, they ate it up.
They did.
And I was talking about potential show stealers for the night, and I really thought that was going to be one of them, and they definitely lived up to expectations, and in some cases exceeded them. Some of the counters, very creative, and the story just really
Yeah,
well
the
told.
Storytelling was fantastic, and you could hear the shock, I guess, in the crowd when Charlotte got you know, Asuka to tap.
I didn't think she would tap.
That was interesting. The fact that Charlotte puts puts the figure eight, one-handed, by the way.
Yeah, and still got her to tap.
And got her to tap. That was interesting. Yeah, I think that may have been the bigger shock, yeah, was the fact that she tapped. Yeah, Charlotte, getting Asuka to tap out was definitely unexpected. And you could hear it from the crowd. And then 48 hours later, she gets attacked by the Iconic Duo, who's making their debut from NXT. Peyton Royce, Billy Kay come out, attacks Charlotte, beat her down, and then we get the cash in. Carmella cashes in. Carmella is your new SmackDown Women's Champion.
She had been waiting so patiently to cash that in, and I was starting to wonder when it was actually going to happen. A lot of people were thinking at WrestleMania.
Yeah, a lot of people were, and I'm glad it didn't happen. It wouldn't have fit, especially with that match being as monumental as it was.
Or just being as good as it was.
Right. So, the fact that it was like this, I mean, this is kind of like Edge when those first couple times he would cash in, catching somebody just completely out of it.
But you couldn't help but be happy for Carmella, though.
Yeah.
Like, at first, I was kind of wondering why the referee was taking so long to let it happen, because we've seen in the past, like you mentioned, with Edge, he cashes in, they just say, ring the bell, they go, and the other guy could be knocked out already, and all he did was cover them. In this case, the referee kind of made it seem like Carmella wasn't going to actually get a chance to win this thing.
Yeah, we were going to get another, pull, but congratulations to Carmella, though. So let me ask you this. Give me another moment that stood out to you. What did you think of Ronda Rousey?
I mean, it was entertaining. Yeah. I thought she performed well. I give a lot of credit to Stephanie McMahon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because she actually took a lot of bumps.
She did.
A lot of people always say that she doesn't get her comeuppance because she never really gets thrown around. But this time you could tell that she took a bit of a beating.
That was definitely one of the matches. The crowd was solidly behind Kurt Angle and Ronda Rousey.
Man, I hate to say this, but am I still one of those few people that gets a little uneasy seeing Kurt Angle in the ring?
There's a tiny bit of trepidation in the back of my mind as well.
Okay, so I'm not the only
one. Yeah, I mean, but...
Because he's putting himself into the steps and stuff, and I'm like, Kurt, you don't have to do that anymore.
Well...
I'm entertained.
Again, I mean, as long as... It's kind of like what we've been talking about with football lately. Using the shoulder instead of, ducking your head. As long as he's doing that, I'm kind of okay with it. We saw Terry Funk wrestle, into his 70s.
Yeah, but he didn't do it with a broken neck.
True. So, but anyway, yeah, that was good. Braun Strowman, I think that might have been the moment of the night.
Picking out the kid.
The kid, Nicholas. I mean, it was so funny. So when he comes out and he says the my tag team partner is one of you, and I didn't hear the one of, so I thought maybe he was going to basically pick the WWE, what we had with the Sideshow Championship Wrestle Circus, but then, or one of you, and he took forever. It was so funny. He seemingly took a long time to find this kid. But then, I mean, got him up in the ring. I mean, and I'm still laughing about it. I was in tears laughing so hard. The whole series of events. I mean, and of course you can imagine the tweets. I mean, I was checking tweets. I sent one out. I said, because I had met David Arquette the night before at Ring of Honor.
Oh, you mean the former WCW champion?
Stop. Just say that. Stop that. But anyway, so the tweet read, David Arquette, the most random wrestling champion of all time. Nicholas, hold my juice box. There you go. So, and there was stuff like, as soon as he got in the back, Nicholas has been suspended 30 days for the first violation of the wellness policy because of a tainted milk. There was, the Young Bucks, God bless the Young Bucks. They tweeted out, hey, we finally got some competition.
Yeah, I saw that.
I replied, next thing you know, he'll get booked for All In, and Flip Gordon still isn't booked. So, but I mean, it was a fantastic moment. I mean, it was just that was to go from, you know, the bridge between AJ and Nakamura and go, you know, into Brock and Roman. To have that, that was perfect. That was perfect placement.
Considering how long the card is, yeah, I thought they did a really good job with the rhythm of the actual night, how it kind of worked out. You talk about moments of the evening, though.
Yeah.
I have to admit, it's Cena running to the back.
Yes.
That one got made into some
right.
gifts. And
after the Charlotte Oscar match, you know, yeah, that was hilarious.
It's just like, what? He has to run to the back? What's going on here?
Yeah.
But they came out with the soft sell where they're like, oh, well, Elias is in the ring and John Cena is just going to take care of him instead. Oh, okay.
It's like, oh, come on.
But then to see The Undertaker,
and
were you
then,
happy?
You know, it.
Wasn't it
part of me was still kind of like, well, okay, fine. If they're gonna blow out what happened last year, now the way they did it was kind of cool with having the hat and the coat in the ring, and then the lightning strikes and it's gone, and then you hear the gong and here comes the dead man.
That's exactly where I was just about to get at. I was like, and they even answered your question.
They did.
Like you were like, oh, but he left it in the ring. That means he's done. That's it. Undertaker. I'm like, yes, yep. I get that. But no, he's going to return.
He did. And it was a squash match. I mean, this wasn't like a, you know, John Cena. Now, God bless John Cena.
Yeah.
The reactions when he hits the five knuckle shuffle. Or he hits slam, he's about to hit the five knuckle shuffle, comes off the ropes, and Taker sits up.
Yeah.
And John does that, you know, step back, you know.
Falls over and stuff.
That was perfect. That was fantastic.
How was the crowd live for that
match? That was, Undertaker was probably the biggest pop of the night.
Because, I mean, he brought out everything. He did
yeah.
old school.
Yeah.
Choke
did
slam.
Did the ropes. Did the choke slam. Did the tombstone drop pile driver.
And he had hair. He had
yeah.
long hair.
Yeah.
He
yeah. 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 Was,
he looked like he was in good shape.
He did. So.
I mean, obviously there was a little rust, so to speak. Just a little.
Well, you know.
Around the ring. Just because of advanced age and the hips, man. But
I know.
Other than that, he was still able to go through pretty much his whole repertoire.
He did it. Yeah. He did what you hoped you would see out of an Undertaker match.
I'm impressed. Yeah, honestly, so. I was just like, wow, he's just kind of moving around like it was no big deal. It's
yeah.
just that you could just tell, you know, with age and time that eventually we're going to get to the point where we're going to get to that.
Right. We did have a couple.
Where
did have a couple.
Match.
Yeah, we did have a couple title changes. Congratulations, Cedric Alexander, on winning the Cruiserweight Championship.
I think that was
defeating Mustafa Ali. And, the, you know, at the end, the emotion, those two, it was really cool because that was a fantastic match. You also had, which one am I missing? Oh, Seth Rollins, your new Intercontinental Champion.
Was the match good, though?
Match was really good.
I knew it
and
was
I'm
good.
And I'm not, you know, and again, I'm not a big fan of, like, multi-man matches, but it was good.
But,
it was. They did a good job with it.
But see, this is where I was saying, and I think I said in the video I made that you were kind enough to tweet out, so I appreciate
yes.
that again. But, like, Miz, underrated. As a worker.
Oh, absolutely.
And in this match, I think he really held his own against two really great workers.
It's funny. I think the wrestling world has kind of come around on Miz. And not only the wrestling world, but those, you know, he's gone from the goofball that was on Real World with Kevin Dunn. Afternoons, Chad, Kevin, 3 to 7 p.m. Central. To the guy that, you know, never worked in the indies, never worked, you know, he was a WWE guy through and through.
Yeah, he was a tough enough guy.
But he's turned it into something really cool and really special. And hey, you gotta give the man some credit.
Hey, he stuck with it. He's main
he's main evented WrestleMania
already, but geez, yeah. But just his role is so important as the top heel on Raw. I was kind of sad to see him lose just because I feel the belt is
right.
more significant when he's with it.
Yeah, but at the same time, I think Seth Rollins will do fine. You know, I think here's the thing. I think the belt will remain significant because Brock Lesnar is still the Universal Champion, and we're still going to see him very sparingly, if at all.
So the IC belt, basically the top belt on
Raw. Right now, because, you know, and I know something I was going to get to. So let's, before I get to that, though, let's talk AJ Nakamura. Fantastic match. No, it wasn't going to be on the level of their match at Wrestle Kingdom 10, but it was great.
Well,
it was on the level of what you would hope in WWE. The thing at the end with Nakamura hitting the low blow and then hitting the Kinshasa. I don't know. And I'm not that familiar with him as a heel. I know he has been a heel.
Yeah. I'm like, this is not too far of a stretch.
Right. I don't know. It's interesting. I mean, I'll have to wait and see how it develops. But
we saw on SmackDown with his little interview when they went to go ask him, like, why you did it. And then his
Renee Young was back there.
You know, he didn't speak English all of a sudden. And that, you know, pulling like a Sammy Sosa.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about that one.
And I, at first, I felt kind of a little awkward about it. And then I thought about it. It's like, is he taking a page of the New Japan playbook where the heels don't speak Japanese? They speak only English. And they come out and just tell you, you know, they don't understand. They don't talk. They disrespect. And that's why Kenny Omega was able to get over in Japan because, mm-hmm. you know, as a good face in Japan, you... It's easy, helps to speak the language, and no different than here in America.
Right, absolutely.
So I don't know. I'm wanting to see how it develops. Like you mentioned before, it couldn't have been on par with Wrestle Kingdom 10. The WWE schedule doesn't allow you to take those huge risks because you have to work every week, as opposed to New Japan, where you have a little bit more time off to heal.
That's true. And then Brock and Roman. A, were you surprised Brock Lesnar retained?
Who wasn't surprised?
I think everybody was surprised. Now I will tell you, and the crowd quickly checked out of the match. I mean, it was, and it did not take long at all.
Now, was it just because of the style the match was going to be? You know, with a Brock Lesnar match, it's just going to be F5s and suplexes at this point with a few hard strikes. But was it just because the night was so long being in the arena?
No, I don't think this wasn't a we're tired. This was a we don't like Roman. We know Roman's going to win. Therefore, we don't care about this match. That's what it was.
All right, so everybody pretty much had that thought going into this match. It's like, because this is coronation.
Now, when Roman got busted open with one of Brock's elbows, the crowd woke up a little bit.
Okay.
But even then, it wasn't...
I mean, I saw beach balls.
Yeah,
there were random chants.
I counted at least 10 beach balls. I mean, and they were happy. It was all over the stadium.
But yeah.
There was one fan getting ejected, and they were going nuts about that. There was, the random chants. It started with "We want Nicholas." You know,
I know there was a CM Punk one in there.
Yeah, there was CM Punk. Which, come on, can we have something a little more original?
He really touched a chord with some of the fans. And you know, he's one of those guys, you really liked him or you really didn't.
I know, but it's been what, 3 years now, 4 years? Let it go. Let it go.
But that's just it, man. Pro wrestling, you know, you can never say never.
Right, I get that.
We just saw Daniel Bryan come back.
That's right. Now, allegedly, there was a confrontation between Brock Lesnar and Vince McMahon in the back after the match. The prevailing rumor is that Vince was not happy that Brock busted Roman open. Doesn't know if that was like an audible. There may have been a couple other spots that weren't planned. But then they turned around and announced on Monday that Brock Lesnar, he has re-signed with WWE. Now, we don't know for how long.
Well, because he also re-signed with UFC.
Well, we don't know.
No, that's what Dana White came out and said.
He was going to re-sign.
Ah.
We haven't seen official yet. Now, it's already been announced that Brock and Roman will meet again on April 27th at the Greatest Royal Rumble in Saudi Arabia, which will be on the network. Is that where Roman gets the title and Brock goes back to the Octagon?
I would hope not. that would be so anticlimactic at this point.
I would think too, but
you built him up for so many years, gave him four straight WrestleMania main events just to never win the big one.
Yeah.
Unless you're planning on turning that into a storyline somewhere down the road where it can actually work out in that way. Why even do it?
Because
WrestleMania is supposed to be about moments.
I know, but it's from everything I can tell, and this I confirmed in New Orleans with WWE is all about their international presence. We've heard the stories. In fact, Brian Fritz, our good friend who hosts Between the Ropes, and I was staying with him and Michael Wiseman this weekend. He talks about how they will pay for international press to come to the site of WrestleMania. They pay them. You know, they'll take care of their flights and hotels and all that good stuff. So the fact that they're doing this big card in Saudi Arabia is a huge deal. Apparently, it is a very big deal. And so this is why they would do it there. I don't know. We'll see. Tell you what, we're going to take a quick timeout. When we do, we will come back and recap the rest of the weekend. That includes NXT TakeOver. That includes Ring of Honor, Supercard of Honor. Might even hit a little Impact Wrestling versus Lucha Underground. And we'll may hit a little bit of the fallout from WrestleMania. You're listening to Sports Guys Talking Wrestling on the Horn, 104.9 AM, 1260, streaming worldwide at hornfm.com and the Horn Austin app. Sports Guys Talking Wrestling, of course, part of the Cheap Pops podcast network that you find at blogtalkradio.com. One of our partner podcasts, Between the Ropes, of course, spent WrestleMania weekend with our good friends Brian Fritz, Michael Wiseman. They took in everything that was WrestleMania, had great access. So this week, of course, they've got their reaction to everything that happened this weekend in New Orleans, talking about NXT TakeOver and the big show in the Superdome. Get all the reaction and their takes. You can check that out this week on Between the Ropes, one of the great partner podcasts on the Cheap Pops podcast network that you'll find on blogtalkradio.com.
I am in the top 1%.
This is EC3, and you are listening to Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. I'm in the top 1%.
We are in the top 1% of wrestling radio shows, at least in our opinion.
Sports, in Austin.
In Austin. I'll say even Texas.
I
think it's us and Booker T, and that's it.
That's about it, right?
Sports Radio 610 in Houston. Sports Guys Talking Wrestling, The Horn, 104.9 AM, 1260. Stu Myrick, Justin the Smash Simmons. EC3 did not have the weekend he was hoping at NXT TakeOver in New Orleans. It was another case of NXT TakeOver setting the standard that WrestleMania had to live up to.
That's,
I mean,
so
and for such a concise card for five matches, and you started out with the ladder match, crowning a new North American champion, and it ends up being none other than Adam Cole.
Adam Cole, baby!
That ladder match was,
man,
yeah.
Give everybody credit
no
who was in
kidding
that match. Even though it wasn't a good, it wasn't a win like EC3 wanted. It was a good showing, though. He took some high risk. Velveteen Dream. Did you see those elbows?
Yeah. Velveteen
wow
Dream was, yeah, he was hitting it.
How can you not?
That was incredible.
He's going to be the next breakthrough guy.
And you
he
look.
He has to be.
Well, you look at who was in that match.
Yeah, Ricochet.
Ricochet.
The ladder?
Yes.
That was nuts.
I mean, and yet it's what we expect from Ricochet. You know, this is. But for Velveteen Dream to be able to stand out in the midst of all that.
Exactly. That's why
that was really
like
good.
The charisma and the,
yes,
and the psychological stuff is kind of already there with him, but you need to see the nitty gritty stuff. And
it's getting a little like, you know, we're starting to see like what we saw the beginnings of Goldust. You know, it's starting to look that way. I hope it continues that way. But all six.
Oh, but Adam Cole just.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wasn't
Adam, you know, fantastic. I love the interaction with Killian Dane and Lars Sullivan just because I love Hoss matches. So seeing those two big brutes. EC3 had some great stuff. All in all six did a fantastic job. But congratulations to Adam Cole for becoming the new North American champion. And then turned right around and had the triple threat for the tag titles and the Dusty Rhodes Cup. And then we get Roderick Strong turning on Pete Dunne, joining Undisputed Era.
We kind of called it, though.
We
alluded to that could possibly be something that would happen.
You know, because of the injury to Bobby Fish. We know Bobby Fish is going to be out for a while. You know, that was the way to try to make things, you know, let's just plug in Roderick Strong. And it made sense. They've got the history. Of course, you know, Ring of Honor. In fact, one of the first Ring of Honor matches I saw live was Roderick Strong versus Bobby Fish.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, Roddy versus the world. I get it. But if you can't beat them, join them, you know?
That's true. So,
but this is exactly what happened about saying that it was going to be a showcase for Adam Cole.
Yes.
And show how amazing he is and how he's going to be the next, you know, possibly the next big thing when it comes, when his time comes to the main roster. And this was a really good showing for him.
It was. So, now you've got the North American title and the tag titles within the Undisputed Era. So, of course, next it's got to be the NXT Championship. We'll see if maybe Roddy gets a shot at that. He's got to go through Aleister Black. Aleister Black defeating Andrade Cien Almas.
Another good match, though.
Another good match. It was. It was really good. So,
And I want to see Almas get a rematch, personally, because I think they could have another
match. They've got to do that, yeah. Shayna Baszler defeated Ember Moon to become the NXT Women's Champion, which you felt bad for Ember Moon until Monday night when she showed up to help out Nia Jax. Congratulations to Ember Moon making it to Raw. I mean, and, you know, it one of our home girls.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, man, it was such a weird feeling just to see somebody that's like, you've seen her live.
Yes.
You know. Had interviews, had talked to her before.
Yeah,
she said hi, things like that, just like normal interaction. Then you see her like on Raw.
She was a mainstay on the Texas scene.
Yeah,
on the I mean, she worked Inspire. She worked Dallas. She worked ROW.
You know, paying the dues.
Paid the dues, and now she is part of the Raw roster.
It's like, so dreams gotta come true. You know,
you gotta give it up for her. So proud of her, and you know, and of course. By the way, Nia Jax, come. I mean, I hate to go back to WrestleMania, but Nia Jax, that was a special moment.
Yeah.
That really was cool. So
I really did think that she was going to get the belt at WrestleMania, and I really didn't foresee Ember Moon. Like, when she lost, I saw her debuting on Raw in some form or fashion, but I didn't see her coming out as Nia Jax's tag team partner. So for her to come out and get the win against Alexa Bliss,
yeah,
with her finisher, you know, made her look. Gave her a really strong debut, which is great.
The match of the night, though, other than the ladder match, had to be Gargano Ciampa.
There was so much emotion.
That was storytelling. That was wrestling storytelling at its finest. I mean, the back and forth and the counters and the brutality, and then, you know, and Gargano with the crutch, he's about to just jab it into Ciampa's heart, and he stops and then using his knee brace. I mean, just it was wow. I mean, I'm just thoroughly impressed.
When people wonder why you or myself or anybody else likes to watch professional wrestling, I get it. Like, there's a little bit of different things for everybody. You get some comedy, there's some variety out there, but ultimately for me, it's for a match like what we just talked about.
Right.
One full of emotion that makes you forget that you're watching something that is predetermined and help you suspend your disbelief or suspend your belief because it is so well performed.
Yes.
It is so well wrestled. The psychology,
right.
The timing, the authentic, it just feels mm-hmm. authentic.
It does.
And it's like watching a good movie or reading a good book that might not be real, per se.
And to know the history of those two individuals, too. How they came up through the business, you know, working the indies. And I mean, I met Ciampa at VIP Wrestling, was it a year and a half ago?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's It's really cool. It's fantastic.
Has Metzler came out with his star ratings for that match yet?
I don't know. I'll be perfectly honest. With all due respect to Dave Meltzer and his what he has built with Wrestling Observer, I don't pay attention because that's his opinion, and he's certainly entitled to it. But what he likes and what I like may be different.
All right. Well, going by the Meltzer grading system.
Yeah.
5 stars being the highest.
Yeah.
1 star. Or no stars being the lowest, where would you rank that match between
Gargano
and Ciampa?
Oh, man. I got to give it 5.
Solid 5, right?
Yeah.
Now, do you think it could exceed the 5 stars? Are we talking Okada territory here? Okada Omega? Is it that good? Because, I mean, it was really good.
I don't know that you go that, only because, obviously... because of time constraints. I remember Okada Omega went an hour.
Well, it's a different style of match.
And it's a different style. So,
but if you're going to go WWE 5-star easily,
easily
5-star match. But if it was going to break that 5-star mark,
right.
I think this kind of set the bar really high for WWE matches.
It's very possible.
In the near future.
Very possible. So while NXT TakeOver was happening at the Smoothie King Center, I was at UNO Lakefront Center for Ring of Honor Supercard of Honor.
It's not like it was a bad card either.
No. I mean, it was one of those things. Either way, you win. It was a great show from start to finish. Congratulations to Sumi Sakai. You're the first ever Women of Honor champion, defeating Kelly Klein.
We both called it.
Yeah, that was both of the semifinal matches were really good. I guess a lot of fans were expecting Tennille Dashwood.
Because she had the bigger name,
I guess, yeah, because of the rub from her WWE stint. But nevertheless, that was really good. Let me see. Punishment Martinez and Tomohiro Ishii. First of all, I got to see Punishment before they had a media availability.
Legit 6'8", right?
And boy, he was looking sharp, dude. I mean, he was looking very nice.
Like dapper?
Very dapper.
So like almost like world champion.
Sure, I'm going to do
like,
this.
Like world champion material in the near future.
Oh, easily.
Like
but
horseman
he was,
dapper?
Yeah. I'm going to show, and this picture is on, it's on my Instagram at Stu Myrick, but I'm going to show the picture that we took with me and Punishment. I mean, and it was, yeah, he was looking very, can I say it, very fly?
Yeah, I think that will fly. No,
so there's
intended.
The picture of Punishment Martinez.
Oh wow, I would not expect to see him in a suit and tie.
Yeah, white sport coat, tie. I mean, hair
all pulled
slick back.
Back.
I mean, yeah, he looked
almost
good.
Doesn't look like him.
No, he took me a moment to say Punishment.
But then again, there's not like another 6'8" guy just like standing
true.
Around.
And good Lord. There was a spot where Punishment launches over the ring post.
Yeah.
And lands on Ishii on the floor.
I've seen him do that before. I'm like, how could a big
but
man
see
like
that live? Oh, my God.
It's like Undertaker-like. He wrestles like the Undertaker. He does. He has a very similar moveset.
The comparisons are quite amazing. It's something else.
Another big athletic guy. That can do things
a man half his
size can do.
We were somewhat right in the notion that it was going to be over for the Bullet Club.
Yeah.
I mean, Kota lost. The Bucks lost. Marty lost. The only one that won was Cody.
And tell us the best. Tell everybody about the best part is that you got kind of a sneak preview to how the end of the Elite was going to go.
Yeah. So we did that. I mean, it was after the Dalton Castle Marty Scurll match. I'm standing pretty much where the exit to where the dressing area was. I'm standing there with Shane Taylor, and so as soon as that match happens, and congratulations to Dalton Castle and the boys. Love seeing the boys as always. So I follow Shane to the back, and as you come out, there are several rooms like dressing rooms, and one of them. That's where the guys were using to shoot, being the elite. And I, as I walk by the room, they're doing the final scene. By the way, Being the Elite just got released on Tuesday, so check it out. And they call it Finale. I'm not going to.
Episode 100.
If you haven't seen it, it's episode 100. If you haven't seen it, I'm not going to spoil it. But anyway, I got to at least hear it. I stayed away because I didn't want it spoiled, but I did at least hear it. So, but yeah, Cody Kenny, that was, I guess, I mean, obviously they want to carry this on. They got All In in September, so this is probably going to carry on at least through then.
It's going to be on the Jericho Cruise, apparently.
It's going to be on the Jericho Cruise. So it was a good match. It was, again, great storytelling. And, yeah, I mean, what else can you say? It was the spot with the Young Bucks coming out being conflicted, and then they super kick Kenny. They meant to kick Cody. It was, yeah.
Yeah, it was not a good night for the
no,
club.
No, it was not. It was not. Otherwise, everything pretty much went to plan. So, all in all, by the way, congratulations, Silas Young, winning the TV championship. You know that feud's going to go on. But and Austin Aries, the Impact Wrestling World Champion, showed up again.
Really?
And sat in on commentary.
Oh,
even.
Wow. I heard.
And then came down because so – The Silas beat Kenny King. It was the last man standing. Beer City Bruiser ties Kenny King's legs together, had him down so he couldn't get up. And Silas, they ring the bell. Silas wins title. They start beating up Kenny King. Austin Aries comes out of the commentary booth, comes down and helps Kenny King. So
that's interesting.
Yeah. So
there was also another world champion in attendance that night, wasn't
yes.
there?
Yes. The NWA World Heavyweight Champion, Nick Aldis. Was in the front row for Dalton Castle versus Marty Scurll. In fact, I got to talk to Dave Lagana a little bit, and they are in China. Nick Aldis defending the NWA Championship versus Colt Cabana.
First time in China yeah. has been defended.
Our friend Barbie Hayden is over there as well.
Yep.
So anyway, when we come back, we need to take a quick time out. When we come back, there will be more. You are listening to Sports Guys Talking Wrestling, and you're listening to the Horn. Another the great partner podcast on the Cheap Pops Podcast Network, the Cosmic Geppetto. And the gang goes back to the 90s. It's the best of the 90s as they debate who was better, Buffy the Vampire Slayer or X-Files. Interesting debate. They're also talking about similarities between Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome and Hook, which I never thought of, but why not? So you can hear what they have to say about that on this week's Cosmic Geppetto podcast. One of the great partners, along with Between the Ropes, High Spot, Stick to the Gimmick, and of course, Sports Guys Talking Wrestling, all on the Cheap Pops Podcast Network on blogtalkradio.com.
Hello, my friends. I am Reborn Matt Seidel, and you're listening to Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. Enjoy it.
Sports Guys Talking Wrestling, the podcast only segment. You're listening to the Cheap Pops Podcast Network. Stu Myrick, Justin the Smash Simmons.
Just tell them right now, just in case they missed it, you met Tanahashi. I'm still not yes. over that.
Yeah, in case you didn't listen to this from the beginning. Yes, I got to meet Hiroshi Tanahashi, like, the ace of New Japan Pro Wrestling.
I still can't get like how and how random it happened. Too.
I know it was. Oh yeah, we got to tell
like
the story.
It was planned.
So basically, what it was. So we're at Supercard of Honor. We're at the UNO Lakefront Arena, and we had an hour. It turned into 2 hours of media availability with several of the Ring of Honor stars, which was fantastic. Again, huge thanks to Mark Kruskal and everybody at Ring of Honor. Just really, really great hospitality there. So we get done, and I go out into the concourse, and they are doing the meet and greets. So there's, in fact, I went up to Cody. I brought back some cigars from Super Bowl week that I'd gotten at the Ditka and Jaws Super Bowl party. They always do a cigars and Jaws party. So went by Cody's. You know, he caught him in between people, gave him his cigars. He was very grateful. So I find where Kenny Omega and Kota Ibushi, the Golden Lovers, where they're doing their meet and greet, and I see the line, so I'm gonna follow it. I'm following it. I kid you not, the line for the meet and greet for Kenny Omega and Kota Ibushi went halfway around the Lakefront Arena.
Wow, that's crazy. It doesn't surprise me.
It was amazing. It was amazing.
I hope everybody that stood in line got to meet them.
They did. It was, you know, wow. I saw everyone. So I'm walking back, and there's Hiroshi Tanahashi at a meet and greet table. There's nobody there.
Nobody around the ace.
Now, I'm sure there were people there before, but I just happened to catch him when there was nobody at the table. So I go up to him. I introduce myself, and I asked him if he could read a liner for me, and he did. I mean, and did fantastic. I mean, it was, and we got the picture, and just it was really cool.
You would have just came away with those hair tips for me. It would have been real helpful.
I know.
It's all good, though. I'm still just like, wow, the man who saved New Japan Pro Wrestling. You got to meet that guy.
Yeah, it was really cool.
And you got to see Ibushi too, right?
I got to meet Kota Ibushi after the show. I was in the back. I got to meet Kota Ibushi. I was hoping to meet Kenny Omega, but things were taking long, and I didn't want to stalk or anything. So I took off. But Kota Ibushi, he was cool. And you know, I am so glad that last year in Lakeland, Florida, I got to meet Kerry Silkin. Kerry Silkin, the former owner of Ring of Honor, now the Ring of Honor ambassador. I mean, we saw, so Friday, I'm at WrestleCon, and I'm walking towards the back row, and it's a booth with Shane Douglas and Jerry Lynn and Mikey Whipwreck.
Oh, wow.
And there's Kerry, and Kerry sees me and just pulls me and gives me this big old hug. And so we're reconnecting, and I'm meeting, you know, I'm talking. Jerry Lynn and I had met. I'd met Shane once. And then it's the first time to meet Mikey Whipwreck, and Kerry and I are just talking. And so I get to the arena for Supercard on Saturday, and Kerry comes in. So we're just chit chatting and everything. And he's, you know, I tell you what, and during the intermission, he's telling me about the lighting, you know, I mean, look, Kerry Silkin is as good as can be. And you know, the history that he has in professional wrestling, not just with the Ring of Honor, but, you know, wrestling magazines, and he had a hand in ECW and all this stuff. It's really cool. And to be able to, and he actually sent out a tweet, you know, thanked everybody for the, you know, watching the Supercard of Honor, and tagged like half the ROH roster, and then tagged two wrestling people, Nick Hausman, WrestleZone, and us. I mean, awesome,
that's all you can really ask for, can't you?
Huge respect.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, all the love to Kerry Silkin. I mean, it's just fantastic. Let's see, what else? Kingdom. Oh, I didn't mention the Kingdom.
Yeah.
The Kingdom, the story about the Kingdom. So the Kingdom, you'd heard last week that, you know, from TK O'Ryan, we had him on the show. TK O'Ryan mentioned that the Kingdom had been booted from the Supercard show. So as I get to the arena, I get my press pass and everything, go inside, we hear that the Kingdom is outside protesting. So after I've done the media availability, I go out there. Sure enough, Matt Taven is standing on top of a minivan, and they're selling T-shirts out of the minivan.
That's smart.
And then there's Vinny Marsaglia and TK O'Ryan. Vinny, of course, has the axe. TK O'Ryan has the baseball bat. So I fire up a Facebook Live. You can find that on our Facebook page at Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. And I had Vinny and TK come over and tell me what's going on. And just before I'd gotten out there, Nick Hausman took Joe Koff, the chief operating officer for Ring of Honor, took him out there. They confronted Joe Koff. So, and we talked and everything, and got the skinny on the protest. It was interesting. It was something else. And then sure enough, during the six man match, the ladder match, SoCal Uncensored versus the Young Bucks and Flip Gordon. By the way, Flip Gordon, might have been the MVP of the night. Some of the moves he made.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Still can't get
a couple of moves that he almost killed himself. There was one where he was going to come off he had jumped rope to the top turnbuckle to the ring post and was going to come off. He got all the way to the ring post and then he was slipping. And I think he turned it and was able to, you know, save it a little bit, but it was scary. But
still not all in though. Huh?
Still not all in. Cody's dog is all, you know, Pharaoh's all in, but you know, Flip Gordon not. Nicholas might be all in, but anyway, sure enough, during the match, here comes the Kingdom to disrupt everything, beats up everybody, but in the end, SoCal Uncensored still retaining the Ring of Honor 6-man titles. Let's see, what else can
I? How was the hotel? Like, was it good walking distance? It was everything you needed to be at?
So Brian Fritz, Michael Wiseman, and I, Brian and Michael from Between the Ropes, we had booked an Airbnb, and we booked this in January.
Yeah.
Sure enough, got there. I mean, it was a 10-minute walk to the convention center, 15-minute walk to the Sheraton where WrestleCon was, about 20-minute walk to the Superdome. I mean, perfect, it was, huh? Oh, my God. Parking lot right across the street.
Nice.
It was a nice place, too.
That's awesome.
Really nice place. So, yeah, great place. Man. Beautiful. Let's see. What else happened? Let's talk. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to ask, how was WrestleCon itself?
WrestleCon was good. It was.
Anything you saw that you didn't think you were going to see at WrestleCon?
Not really. I mean, I got to see some people I've seen before, hug necks, all that. Oh, that reminds me. Well, let me go to this first. It was at the Sheraton. They had this in a ballroom. They probably could have booked a bigger ballroom.
Oh, yeah?
It was a little tight, and the airflow wasn't great. So, like, Friday, it was kind of warm in there.
Mm.
So Thursday night, Ruthless Ryan Davidson is in town. He was on the Wildcat Wrestling Show for WrestleCon.
Okay.
So Friday, I get in Thursday night. I text him. They're wrapping up that show. And so he and Brock Baker, who's also from ROW, meet me at Moolot's. We have a beer and have some food and enjoy each other. So Friday, we meet up at WrestleCon. Scratch that. Thursday night. While we're there, Ryan is texting someone, and here he comes. It's Joel Gertner from ECW.
Yeah.
And so Joel Gertner was hanging out with us. We're having beers and having food.
Really random.
Yeah. Yeah. Joel was great. We talked. You know, he was a great guy, and he and Ryan were friends. And
he wasn't wearing the neck brace, was he?
No. He did bring the neck brace to WrestleCon, and so he's taking pictures with it. Yeah. But anyway, and I got his contact. We're going to have him on here soon and maybe get a couple of, like, ECW stories from him. But he was great. Friday, the WrestleCon was good, though. All, you know, the what you would expect, a lot of legends. Several of the New Japan guys were doing WrestleCon, including, who am I thinking? Tanahashi was there. Minoru Suzuki was there.
Oh, okay.
I actually saw him smile.
What? Did you catch him?
The smile was creepier than his frown. When he smiled, that really put the fear of God in me. Kota Ibushi was there. Ibushi was there. Ishii was there. So that was great. Got to see a lot of legends. Talked to Bill Watts, the man behind the Bill Watts, wow. The man behind Mid-South Wrestling. Let's see, who else?
He was also quite the competitor in his day.
That's right. Mean Gene Oakland, ran into him, said hi to him. We're going to connect at Cauliflower Alley Club at the end of the month. Who else did I see? Oh, Road Warrior Animal, of course.
Yeah.
My Super Bowl Radio Row colleague. In fact, so I went back there Sunday morning, and Animal's there in full face, and he had his wife with him. Animal introduces me to his wife as his Super Bowl colleague.
Ha.
It was hilarious. So it was really neat. I mean, there are a lot of our friends. Rachel Ellering, it was so good to see her. Saw her there. She's going to be in town for Sabotage. So we'll have to reconnect with her soon. Who else did I see? Chris Marvel had the had a table for Hybrid School of Wrestling, and you know they're really knocking it out of the park there in San Antonio. I think they've got a seminar coming up with James Ellsworth. They hired, and I don't know his real name, but the man that used to be Ricardo Rodriguez from WWE hired him as a trainer. So
because he was actually he was a good luchador,
right?
As well, you know, he just didn't have like the WWE body, so to speak,
right?
But he obviously very talented.
He is
still to be used as part of the act that got Del Rio to the championship,
right? So it was good. I mean, it was good to see everybody and reconnect with some people. And Hacksaw Jim Duggan was there. The only thing I bought from WrestleCon, got a 2x4 autographed by Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
That's great.
So that was worth it. So, speaking of Del Rio, aka Alberto El Patron, Impact Wrestling had an interesting weekend. First of all, there was Impact Wrestling was at WrestleCon. Saw Eli Drake there, Austin Aries, Josh Matthews, several others. It was really neat. So they do this press conference for, they've got a pay-per-view coming up on April 22nd, I believe, which is called Redemption. And it's April 22nd. So the main event was going to be Austin Aries defending the Impact Wrestling World Championship versus Alberto El Patron. So we get to, it's the Royal St. Charles Hotel. We get there. They're going to do the press conference. There's, you know, here comes Austin Aries with all the belts. Here comes Alberto El Patron. They start off, and they're trading barbs, going back and forth. All of a sudden, El Patron flips the table over, and then they get in a scuffle, and El Patron leaves. That was it. And then Austin Aries stayed and answered questions, which was great. I got to talk to him briefly, and it was really cool to talk to meet him. So that night was going to be the huge Impact Wrestling versus Lucha Underground show over at the Sugar Mill there in New Orleans. So the main event, it was supposed to be a tag team match. It was going to be Austin Aries and Rey Fénix, or Fénix, versus Alberto El Patron and Pentagon Dark. El Patron no-showed.
Okay.
So it ended up being a triple threat match. Austin, Fénix, and Pentagon. It was a fantastic match. The next day, in fact, it was while we were at the Lakefront Arena, I see a tweet from Impact Wrestling. They have released Alberto El Patron. He is no longer with Impact Wrestling.
Yeah, saw that too.
Now, I have not seen a reason why. I got to believe there was something else besides him no-showing. I've heard a couple of rumors. I'm not going to say them here just because I don't want to spread rumors. If they're even half true, Impact Wrestling did the right thing, and WWE isn't going to go within a mile of him.
Because I figured that would be the only reason he was leaving, was because he was going to go back to WWE.
Yeah, but if, like I said, from what I heard, if it's even partly true, WWE won't touch him. Never.
Well, we'll have to see.
So we'll see. So they have now changed it. It is now going to be a rematch at Redemption. It will be Austin Aries, Fénix, and Pentagon Dark. So there was that. The rest of the card that night, it was fantastic. DJZ, it was so good to see DJZ back in the ring. He had been battling injuries for quite some time, but he made it, and he had a great match. It was him. Let's see, where was it? There it is. It was DJZ, Andrew Everett, and Desmond Xavier facing King Cuerno, Aerostar, and Drago. The Lucha Underground trio got the win, but it was just crazy flips and dives, and I mean, it's what you would expect from those six. you had Dave and Jake Crist representing OVE get beat by the team of Teddy Hart, who we just saw at Wrestle Circus, and Scott Steiner.
Wow, what a tag team.
Yeah, no kidding. They had a six-way match. Matanza Cueto defeating Moose, Matt Sydal, Caleb Conley, Jack Evans, and Chavo Guerrero.
Wow, it's pretty heavy hitters in that one.
Yeah. Now, the cool part was, so after that match, Chavo Guerrero stays in the ring and announces everybody, season 4 of Lucha Underground will premiere June 13th on El Rey Network. And they showed the video. The video's out on YouTube. You can see it. From what I have heard, there's some interesting surprises in store for the Believers.
Oh, well, I'm looking forward to seeing it myself. I mean, yeah. We've been covering Lucha Underground since the beginning.
We're lucky enough to know a lot of the people that are on that show. In fact, I ran into Thunder Rosa,
yeah,
aka Cobra Moon. She's very excited about it. Talked to a lot of the people afterwards, and they're very excited. Let's see, a couple other things. LAX successfully defended the Impact World Tag Team titles, defeating Killshot and the Mac. Brian Cage beat Eli Drake. Jeremiah Crane defeated Eddie Edwards by official stoppage. He was going to repeat the spot with the bat.
Yeah.
Don Callis comes out, tells Jeremiah Crane, a.k.a. Sammy Callahan, drop the bat, everything, and Callis throws in a towel to stop the match. And then Moose came out to chase Crane off. So it was a cool show. It was really good. And I've been saying it. Impact Wrestling's heading in the right direction. From what I can see, you know, I've started watching it and it's starting to look like what you want to see from Impact.
Well, there was no doubt that they were gonna have to rebuild. Because the guys that left were ready to leave.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, they were ready for WWE or in like EC3's case to get another shot with the big company. But Impact really needs to do what they're doing now and kind of take a step back, be like Ring of Honor. You take a lot of those guys on the indies, give them some good exposure on the national scene, and just keep on working these relationships with the lower with the other organizations that aren't WWE,
right. The other thing was, they aren't, and I even asked Austin Aries about this. They have really embraced this whole, hey, we'll collaborate with anybody. I mean, they've got this whole thing with Lucha Underground. We've seen Austin Aries now on 2 Ring of Honor pay per views.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there's the connection. Austin Aries, a former Ring of Honor world champion, but for him to show up with the Impact belt in hand,
yeah,
he comes out on stage. He's got all of his belts, and they're right there. There it says Impact Wrestling. So, and they're not afraid to collaborate. They've kind of embraced kind of what we've seen a little bit on the independent scene with different companies, you know, kind of coming together, so to speak. You know, like what we saw last year, the Midnight After Mania with Wrestle Circus and Wrestling Revolver. What we saw this year, I mean, there was the Wrestling Revolver had the Pancakes and Piledrivers event again with Fight Club Pro and, who else was it? AAW.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's something we're going to see more of. And if that's the case, and if Impact's going to do that, I applaud them.
Well, it seems that the companies that are on the national scene that aren't WWE are better off pairing up together, because this way you get more exposure on both shows.
You do.
Indirectly, just by showing up with the belt.
And build,
because it makes you want to see it.
Yeah, build up the fan base. Yeah. Why not? Helps the indie, helps Impact.
It helps
it's
every,
a win-win.
It pretty much a win-win for everybody. Helps the
Absolutely.
Talent.
Yeah. Absolutely. So a few other notes. Let's start with debuts. We heard, you know, as we mentioned earlier, Peyton Royce, Billy Kay from NXT debut on SmackDown. Meanwhile, on Raw, we had Ember Moon, as we mentioned. No Way Jose came out.
It's going to be a good one.
Had a conga line, and the first two in the conga line looked suspiciously like Christy Janes and Aaron Solo. And The Authors of Pain debuted.
With Paul.
With Paul. Although they left Paul afterwards. They said, we got this.
Yeah.
Which I think Precious Paul Ellering doesn't want to travel. Doesn't want to do the travel schedule of a Monday Night Raw. So
I completely understand.
Yeah, yeah. He's done that before. He's done his due. So
took another team to the top, huh?
And other returns, Jeff Hardy had the great six-man match with Seth Rollins and Finn Balor.
Yeah, a lot of people really excited to see. He still gets like one of the loudest reactions.
He does. And you had the little brief interaction with him and Woken Matt Hardy. In fact, Bray Wyatt calls him Brother Nero.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, yeah, let's talk about that for we completely glossed over that. Matt Hardy wins the Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
Yeah, which was kind of unexpected.
With help from Bray Wyatt.
Exactly. That's why it was unexpected.
I mean, so I guess that Lake of Reincarnation, you know, really did a number on purged out Sister Abigail. So now, and now they are, so they had a match. It's now going to be Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt versus, who was it? They're facing, the Revival.
Yeah.
And the winners will take on the Bar in Saudi Arabia for the Raw Tag Team titles because Braun Strowman and Nicholas had to give them up because of Nicholas's, quote, scheduling conflicts, which meant fourth grade.
Yeah.
We thought Nicholas was going to jump to Impact. But did you hear did you hear Kurt Angle?
No, I try to block.
So
that
the
out.
Bar comes in, you know, they're complaining, you know, when Braun and Nicholas give up the titles. No, excuse me. This is different. Hold it. Never mind. Let's scratch that.
I know
it's Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn. So they come in, they show up. And they show up at Kurt Angle's office, you know, because now they're fired from SmackDown. They're looking for a job. Kurt Angle said, and I quote, "My tag team division is full, but I hear TNA is hiring."
Ha.
I was like, what? Okay, sure, why not? You know, so that was a mildly surprising comment.
That was one that kind of broke the fourth wall there, huh?
It definitely broke the fourth wall.
Which is fine, though. It's getting it cheeky, though. I like it. I appreciate it, just because in the sense it's like, well, TNA doesn't even exist anymore,
right,
so it's all good.
Right. We had another debut. Bobby Lashley.
Oh, yeah.
Walking Armageddon showed up on Monday Night Raw. So kudos to Bobby Lashley getting another stint in WWE. So that was really cool. We saw Monday Night Raw Paige, officially retired from in-ring competition.
It was
a nice moment. And then turn right around Tuesday night on SmackDown because Daniel Bryan is now a fully reinstated WWE superstar. Of course, he can't be GM anymore. So let's have Paige as GM.
I don't know. Wasn't like Regal, like commissioner, would come out and wrestle every now and then?
Regal, I don't know if Regal's wrestled in forever.
No, but when he was commissioner.
Oh, he would, but now they, you know.
I know.
This is the way to keep Paige on TV.
Oh, it's rightfully, though.
So.
I mean.
So, yeah. So that was really cool. Let's see. A couple other things. Couple more additions to the All In show in Chicago. Deonna Purrazzo, who we just saw at Wrestle Circus. I saw her in New Orleans. It was great to see her. And the Rainmaker himself, Kazuchika Okada, the IWGP Heavyweight Champion. He's heading to Chicago. He's All In. So really cool. Hall of Fame, as I mentioned, yeah, I didn't see much. I saw Barrett Brown go through the table, courtesy of the Dudleys. I saw Road Dogg and Jeff Jarrett singing With My Baby Tonight. That was kind of neat.
Well, I'm glad that they actually brought it back, though.
They did. It was really neat.
I remember making a joke about it on this show. And
they put on the cowboy hats and everything. It's so fantastic.
They actually did it, which is great.
Moment of the night for me, obviously, just because of the way I feel for both these guys. Goldberg came up. And he said he made a point to specifically talked about Diamond Dallas Page and what Page did for him in WCW. and then also singled out Sting. And Sting was sitting there, and he said, look, I hope I lived up to what you set the standard for. And it was that was really cool. That was...
Oh, we know if you have to win points with Stu Meyer, you just compliment Sting.
That's right. Hey, that's right. By the way, saw Sting at WrestleCon.
Oh, okay. That's
chatted him a little bit. So all in all, it was a fantastic weekend. If you are a wrestling fan and you get a chance to go to wherever WrestleMania is, I highly encourage you. Even if you can't get into WrestleMania, do the weekend stuff. It is fantastic. Not to mention, everywhere you turn in New Orleans, you see wrestling fans all over. They're wearing the shirts, they're wearing the belts, they're wearing the gear. It is a huge wrestling family reunion.
Yeah, basically wherever you go, you will see wrestling gear. You really are amongst other fans when you go to WrestleMania. It's kind of funny, though. Like 10 years ago, I wouldn't say, like, oh, if you didn't have a ticket for WrestleMania, you should still go to that city. But now, within the last 5 years, it's like, yeah, everybody's setting up shop there.
Yeah.
Everybody's realized it's a good place to get a lot of exposure because everybody's already in town.
Between WrestleCon, Ring of Honor always runs there. It was good to see Impact Wrestling have a presence there. That was one of my big gripes about them last year. Grant, last year, they were in a lot of turmoil, but they're in Orlando, and you all you had was one table at WrestleCon, and that was it. You couldn't promote it now. So the event that they did, but yeah, all the WrestleCon shows and WWN live shows. By the way, our boy Keith Lee and Cassius Ohno from NXT. And it was funny. So Keith Lee lost the WWN Live Championship to Austin Theory, which makes me believe Keith Lee might be heading to Orlando soon.
He might be next.
He might be next. And we've been saying that forever. I mean, I made the prediction. I said by the time the Aggies kick off football, Keith Lee will be in a WWE ring, whether it's with NXT or, you know.
I'm always surprised when people are like, oh, I've never heard of him before. I'm like, have you not seen this guy? I mean, he's amazing.
You need to watch.
He has his offensive lineman body, but the grace of a cruiserweight. It's just crazy. And then out of the ring, really just nice guy.
And personality for days.
Yeah.
I mean, a fantastic personality. So all in all, fantastic weekend. So get ready for New York next year. I'm not sure I'm going to go because... Let's put it this way. This weekend, New York's still under snow. So, and the WrestleMania's at MetLife.
Well, okay, tell me this. How did you like being inside a dome, like an actual arena, as opposed to being outside?
I liked it. Because I've done three WrestleManias. Yeah. 32 was in, you know, Jerry World. Then last year in Camping World Stadium there in Orlando, which was, it was nice. Obviously, weather is always a concern, and that's why I get a little leery when they plan these things. It's different from planning the Super Bowl, but so that worked. But yeah, being in the Superdome, it was fine. You know,
I've only gone to WrestleMania indoors because I've been to Houston and Dallas.
Yeah,
so I've never been to the outdoor WrestleMania.
Right. So yeah, the only one I've done was Orlando, and it worked out. But it's Orlando.
Yeah. So the weather's going to be pretty nice. But like I remember when they had it at Levi's Stadium, and it was like daytime.
Yeah, because it was so early because you're on the West Coast.
Yeah, it kind of takes away from the big spectacle.
Yeah,
that
you can't see the Undertaker entrance, the full on Undertaker entrance, because it's daylight.
Yeah, it doesn't work in the daylight.
No, it worked in the Superdome.
Oh well, that and give credit to the WWE production and people who build the screens and stuff, because man, that was great set.
Man, that,
and some of those entrances were really good this year.
They were really awesome. And yeah, speaking of which, I've been saying for the last year and a half, I couldn't wait to see Shinsuke's entrance, and boy, it did not disappoint. I mean, Nita Strauss wailing on the guitar, and then having the violinist lining the ramp and the drums. Oh my God, that was so cool. That was super.
His, I mean, the Undertaker thing.
Undertaker was awesome. Look, Undertaker entrance. That's
because they tied up everything together. It's like, oh, there's his clothes. Oh, they're back on him.
Yep,
he's back.
There he is, and he's back. So.
And then Charlotte's entrance.
Charlotte was cool. I wonder who the
Asuka with the mask dropping. I thought that was the really awesome.
Yeah, and that was the other thing. So in fact, on my way back on Monday, I called Chad Hastings.
Yeah.
And he and I were talking about it. And he was asking me. This was all digital superimposed. It wasn't like in the arena. So like the Miz with the upside down logo and the words, that was superimposed.
Oh, okay.
And the masks were superimposed and the pancakes. And the only way I knew it was because, again, there was a video board behind me to the left, and they had it on there because they were basically on the video boards, they were basically just playing the network feed.
Yeah.
So you could see it there.
Okay.
But yeah, if you're looking, you're in the Superdome, you're looking at the stage. No, you don't, you know, you didn't see that. You just saw him coming out. So
interesting.
But it was neat. It was cool. So
one of the cases of actually being at home giving you the better entrance for once.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why. So when I got back, I went through and watched the entrances.
Well, yeah.
On the network, because, you know, obviously I couldn't see all the different effects they had. So it was really cool.
It was just really well produced this year. They really outdid themselves.
They did.
And it's just like, how can they easily, you know, tear all that stuff down by the end of the night and then get ready to go back to Raw and then go back to SmackDown the night right afterwards? I mean, geez.
Yeah.
Really.
I mean, you know.
Get put to the grind.
You got to give WWE credit to go. You got Hall of Fame Friday. NXT Saturday, WrestleMania Sunday.
They have Access going on throughout all
plus
that.
Plus, you got Access the whole time. You got Raw on Monday, SmackDown on Tuesday.
Not to mention, you still have 205 Live.
And 205 Live. Yeah, you are just.
It's Hell Week.
For them, I mean, that's what it's like. It's like Super Bowl week with the NFL. It's that kind of thing. Because you're doing events all the time. So. Again, if you ever get a chance, I highly encourage you, go to a WrestleMania weekend, even if you're not in the building for WrestleMania, just being there as a wrestling fan it's pretty cool.
Plus, you'll never know who you'll run into when you go out to eat, right?
So Joe Roderick, who's a good friend of mine, works for 590 The Fan in St. Louis. He hosts Road Warrior Animals podcast. He's at, what was it, Walgreens or something?
Mm-hmm.
Or no, he's on Bourbon Street. And this was on during the day on Thursday. Runs into Kenny Omega and Kota Ibushi.
Just randomly?
Yeah,
on
just
street?
Random. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I think Brian Fritz ran into Seth Rollins out of Walgreens.
Ha!
You know, so.
Hey, man. People need to buy deodorant, too.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, wrestlers, they put their shoes on, their gear on one shoe at a time also.
Exactly. All right, so we're going to take a quick time out. When we come back, we're going to let you know what's happening around the area this weekend in independent wrestling. You're listening to Sports Guys Talking Wrestling on the Cheap Pops Podcast Network.
This is international superstar Flip Gordon, and you're listening to Sports Guys Talking Wrestling.
Yeah, I know. Here we go. Time for the man, time for the show. Dive in the stands, climb up the ropes. Where would they land? Nobody knows. Watch out for that aerosol. Yeah, you know, man, here's your loss. If it's a game, I'm the boss.
Sports Guys Talking Wrestling, Stu Myrick, Justin the Smash Simmons, wrapping up the WrestleMania edition this week. It's WrestleMania week. We finished it up, so... again, just an incredible weekend and, really neat. So we get back to doing what we do best, which is talk about wrestling and giving you a look at what's happening around the area in independent wrestling. We will start Saturday. Reality of Wrestling presents Last Stand, their TV taping at World Gym Arena down in Texas City, bell time, 7 p.m. Gino will be there. Rob Barnes will be there. Rex Andrews, coming back from his tour of Wrestle 1 in Japan. He will be there. Terrell Tempo will be there as well. So that's Reality Wrestling Saturday at the World Gym Arena in Texas City. Texas Wrestling Federation presents Texas Mania Showdown Saturday at the Fiesta Ballroom in Seguin. Bell time, 7:30 p.m. Among those scheduled to appear, Mr. B, Unholy Gregory James, and Erica Torres will be there. That's Texas Wrestling Federation Saturday in Seguin. And then Sunday, got two shows. Branded Outlaw Wrestling presents April Shenanigans Sunday at Quartermain's Pub in San Antonio. Bell time, 7 p.m. Mike Dell will be there. Brent McKenzie will be there. Massive and Thunder Rosa. And then right here in the capital city, in the ATX, Anarchy Championship Wrestling presents Peace, Love, and Anarchy 2018. It will be Sunday at the Mohawk down on Red River. Doors open 5:35 p.m. Bell time, 6 p.m. Main event for the ACW Heavyweight Championship, the immortal Jason Silva defending against our man Steve O'Reno. The televised championship, Ricky Starks defending against Mikey Finnegan. Scotty Santiago will take on Sky De La Cremosa. Jay Sirius will face Mr. B. Angel Blue will face Alley Cat. The Hooligans will take on Yule Hubbard and Masada. Get the skewers ready. Cody Lane, one half of the ACW Tag Team Champions, will take on Trip Cassidy, making his Anarchy debut.
May mercy be placed on the Hooligan's soul.
No kidding. DG Taylor will take on Marcus Rose. They've got a multi-man match that's going to involve Jeff Gant, Thomas Munoz, Dmitry Alexandrov, Skylar Faden, JC Bravo, Junior Garza. A lot of insanity there in the land of anarchy. That's Sunday at the Mohawk on Red River here in Austin. Go check them out.
But I definitely wouldn't expect anything less from them.
No, I wouldn't. This weekend, besides all that, it's Horn Bash. It's Horn Bash week. So if you have not heard, and if you haven't heard, turn your radio up a little bit. Horn Bash, it is the ultimate listeners weekend. This Friday, Saturday at Buck's Backyard, presented by Reliable Automotive. You've got the barbecue cook-off. You've got poker. You've got
washers.
The Horn Uncensored, which could get a little scary, considering fact. I mean, I can only imagine what Becky Godbolt is going to tell us during Horn Uncensored. I will put money on it. We will hear the Nunley story from Aaron Hogan. You know, what else we're going to hear from the likes of Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn and Rod Babers, Trey and BK. You and I might have to get up there. I don't know what we're going to tell them. You know, maybe I'll pull something out from this weekend in New Orleans. I don't know. But, yeah, it's going to be a fun weekend. Buck's Backyard in Buda. You can still get wristbands. Go to hornfm.com. Get your wristband. It's going to be a fantastic weekend. I know Bucky is planning a camp out Friday night.
Crazy.
At first I was probably going to go out there and join him. Then I just realized, hold it, why am I going to go camping? I have spent more years camping than Bucky has.
I was going to say, you go camping like once a year.
Well, you know, I go camp. Yeah, I've done.
Why would you want to go?
Why would I do that? So, but I may stay out there a little late Friday night. We'll see. But yeah, come join us. Buck's Backyard this Friday and Saturday for Horn Bash. HornFM.com for all the details. Should be a lot of fun. You get to see us. Get to see all the Horn personalities. Some others. I know Quan Cosby is coming out to help judge the barbecue. I think Ahmad Brooks, my buddy, my fellow NFL alumni board member.
I mean, do we get to eat the barbecue?
Yes, we get to eat the barbecue.
Okay, I didn't know how it works.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to eat
some barbecue. Just want to make sure if I pick all the way over there.
We're going to eat some barbecue. Yeah. So, and they're going to have, like, drink specials, Bud Light specials. I think I heard half off wine out at Buck's, so should be fun. Should be fun. Anything going, throw in? I assume Kit and Zach and you know, be representing the throw in. You're going to have to do the half shirt. Do half throw in, half half SGTW, I guess.
We have a throw-in shirt. We got to make one of those
first.
Oh, see,
there you go. So now
you
got to do a throw-in shirt. So
we have to make one of these days.
Yeah, but throw-in, Sundays at 9 a.m.
Yeah.
Central on the horn.
Yeah, actually, Kit won't be in, so I'll have the ship.
You're driving the bus.
It's always interesting when that happens. But other than that, just, what was it? Ohio, the state attorney general, like, following, like, some sort of lawsuit trying to keep.
Trying to keep the crew in?
Basically. It's just it's an ongoing saga.
Right now, yeah, I was going to say, at this point, it's kind of like, look, just tap me on the shoulder when it happens.
I think both sides want this to end, you know, as quickly as possible, but it feels like we're still a ways away, so we're going to be talking about that and a lot of other cool stuff. We're going to have you're going to have to come out for this, as well as hopefully some other soccer fans that are pro wrestling fans as well. I know we're a unique bunch, but,
you know.
But we're going to have a throw-in soccer game. Like, we're going to actually have, like, games. Yes, like,
nice.
We're going to do our own event.
Look, I've seen you kick the ball around. You're pretty good. It'll be kind of cool.
I'm not as good as other people out there.
Should I bring TJ McAloon? Because he's, like, one of your biggest fans, you know.
I don't know, man.
TJ from Inspire Pro Wrestling.
I mean, if he wants to come out and wants to come play, that's cool, too. I mean, it should be a good time, though. I'll give you more information.
He'll treat you like his own personal Roman Reigns. You know, just boo you out of the house or something. So,
you know,
that should be fun.
I really don't know what it is. Maybe one of these days, TJ and I will have to have a match.
I know. I think that might be it.
I think that's I mean, you know, I'll tell you what.
My money's on you, just because I've seen, you know, I mean, we've both seen TJ.
Well, I mean, TJ has two kids, and he just had the new one not too long ago.
So he hasn't slept.
Yeah, so I was going to say, you know, those late night feedings, but he does have that dad strength. So, you know, I gotta take into account for that, too.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, maybe if it's for charity or something.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, and
maybe.
I mean, would you accompany to the ring? Would you dress up as Brother Love?
I could
and be my
actually,
manager?
What I could
that
see
would be
is,
great.
Actually, I could see you and TJ representing somebody in the ring. Have two guys fight, you know, and you guys.
Well, you tell TJ and Inspire Pro to put it down on the.
All right, Biss. I think we got a match for May.
We'll have a match, and
we'll be in touch.
Maybe that will get some crossover coverage because it just really sounds like that would just
be. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe. All right, well, that'll do it for this week's Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. You can follow Justin Simmons on Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch at TheSmashSimmons. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Stu Myrick. That's StewMyrick. You can follow the show on Twitter at SGTWATX. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. Make sure you follow us all those places. We are proud to be a part of the Cheap Pops Podcast Network, proud to be the official broadcast partner of the Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame, and proud to be a part of the great lineup that you hear every day on the flagship station for the Texas Longhorns. We are the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260. Catch us Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Central on the Horn, or you can catch us anytime on demand by going to hornfm.com, click on the On Air tab, or subscribing to us on your favorite podcast platform, or by going to blogtalkradio.com for the Cheap Pops Podcast Network. For Justin, I'm Stu. Thank you so much for giving us a little bit of your time as we go out to being the elite. Let's hope it's not the last time we hear this. We will see you at the matches.
Goodbye!